This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, I know that I'm not all that I ought to be, and I know that I am not yet all that I'm going to be. But Lord, I sure thank you. I'm not what I used to be. Amen. One of my favorite prayers that we use in our Episcopal 101 class that comes to us from our African American brothers and sisters, we don't know who gets credit for it, but it sure is wise. And it sure does speak to us today about the gospel and especially the first reading that we heard today. But also it helps us perhaps to have some context about our life right now. Three events converge upon us this week. On Wednesday, we will celebrate the inauguration of Joe Biden as the 46th President of the United States. We commemorate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at this time. And thirdly, tomorrow, we commemorate the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, the theme of which for all the National Council of Churches around the world, including us, is from John's Gospel, chapter 15. Abide in my love, and you will bear much fruit. Abiding in God's love. Living in the way of love. That's all our presiding bishop has said to us over and over again. And it is true love that is the only thing that will help us to move forward. To understand what's going on in the gospel today, let's go back to the Old Testament. You know, our faith is so much about stories and hearing and understanding the truth that are in stories that helps the light bulb go off in our heads and in our hearts. And the story that is underlying this gospel is the story in the Old Testament of Jacob. Remember Jacob? He wants to steal the birthright, and so he dresses up in this crazy hairy outfit so that his father, who can't see, will touch him and think he is the real heir, the first son. And he gets into so much trouble that he has to run away because they really want to kill him for what he's done. And in the midst of all that, as a true scoundrel, he has a dream, if you remember. The only place he could find the sleep is putting his head on a rock. And in the midst of that dream, he has that whole thing about Jacob's ladder. And he sees angels ascending and descending on that ladder. This was a story that would not have been lost to Nathanael when Jesus says what he is going to see. He is drawing this comparison now that Nathanael doesn't miss, that he, like Jacob, is not perfect, but that God is going to use him. Nathanael. We know him better as Bartholomew, one of the 12. All the other iterations that list the 12 apostles, they don't say Nathanael, they say Bartholomew. And it's always right after Philip, so it's pretty logical to conclude that the two are the same person. Even on our plaques up here, there's a plaque for Bartholomew. It shows the symbol of the knives by which he was probably martyred, and he became a great apostle to the Armenians. There is Philip that's over on this side as well. He wasn't perfect, but God chose him. Now, let's talk about some of these things. John always has so much packed into those few words that we can miss the significance of it. He was sitting under the fig tree. There's a lot of significance to that. In those days, it wasn't like you had a multi-room house and you could go into your man cave and shut the door and have time to think and to do whatever it is you do in man caves. You had to go somewhere else to find a place where you could have some think time, some contemplation time. And the fig trees were a wonderful place to go do that. They gave a ton of shade when they were blossoming, and it was a very easy thing to find in that culture. And so the conclusion is that this guy was a man of contemplation. He was out there doing some thinking. And Jesus saw that. And Jesus knew, that's somebody I want on my team. Because he's going to be willing to go to a deeper level. Was he perfect? No. Was Jacob perfect? No. But God used them. Just like all the apostles, just like us. Even if we go back to that first reading we had today, Samuel didn't even know the Lord yet, and yet God called him. This is important for us as we listen and we recite Psalm 139. Lord, you know me through and through. You know my resting and my rising. You know what I'm up to. And yet you still want me, and yet you still love me. Above all today, we need to walk out of here, turn off our TVs when the service is over, if we're worshiping virtually, and understand that God finds us worthy, that God wants to partner with us to walk that way of love. I want to talk about a few things in this regard today. Here is a man in whom there is no guile. No guile. Tells the truth. Not just when it's convenient. Not one that'll fudge the truth or tell lies so they can get what they want. But a man who tells the truth. And faces the truth, no matter how painful it might be. 6 years ago today, our former bishop, the beloved Leo Friday, was here. And the most emotional sermon I have ever experienced him preach was the sermon he preached in this church on this day 6 years ago. And he told us a story about his own life and telling the truth. If you go back that far, you might remember it. It was the famous $5.50 sermon. And he told the story that he was living in Cuba, but he was able to get out because he was somehow able to go and study in university and ended up in the seminary. But because of everything that was happening in Cuba at that time, I believe the year he said was 1960, that there was this issue that they didn't want all the money leaving Cuba. So if you left Cuba, you were only allowed to take $5 with you. Can you imagine? Even in 1960, that's not a lot of money. But Leo's mother, as mothers will do, wanted to give him extra. So she gave him $5.50, two extra quarters. And he had those two quarters when he preached the sermon here. And those quarters took on incredible significance for him in his life about telling the truth. Because when he said he was leaving the country at the airport, they inquisit you about what you are taking with you. And he told the truth. He said $5.50. And not to quote the story exactly, but the inquisitor then said, You are allowed to take only $5 out of this country. Would you like to reconsider how much money you are taking out of the country? And he told the truth again, $5.50. Evidently, the inquisitor was just frustrated by this and ended up just scribbling down $5 on the form and sent him on his way. It became for Bishop Friday a reminder to him throughout his life about telling the truth. I always tell our school children when we celebrate our honor chapel, you know, there's one thing that's good about telling the truth. You don't have to have a good memory. Because if you just tell it the way it is without fabricating anything, boy, after a while, you got to have a pretty good memory to keep it straight. A man in whom there is no guile. That's what Jesus chooses. That's what Jesus wants. Then there is this other issue that we have. He did have some problems. He was a racist. Can anything good come from Nazareth? I can remember in my life in ministry a very painful time where some things had built up and I just didn't understand why this particular person was having such an issue with me. And I sat down with this person to resolve it, and the opening lines were, "You're from St. Louis, therefore you are a racist." Talk about taking the wind out of one's sails. What that did for me, though, was to make me acutely aware of everything I did or I said going forward in my life. As fallacious and as racist as that statement was made to me, it was a gift in the sense that it made me be very aware of how I might be perceived and consequently how I am called to live a life truly without guile in a more intentional way. Was it true what was said about me? Absolutely not. But it certainly turned out to be a gift in the long run. There's something in here about our perceptions that's important about walking the way of love. I know it's somewhere in Soren Kierkegaard's writing, but he tells this story. He tells the story about this circus with clowns. You might have heard this at some point. And these clowns are, they're clowns, they're known, they laugh, they make people funny, it's always a joke. And so the circus comes to town, and the circus is going to take place the next day, but the night before, there's a huge fire in the circus tent area. They don't know what to do, so the only clown who is dressed, they send that clown to go and tell the townspeople that they need help. So the clown, who's fully dressed in his clown outfit, comes and tries to tell the people they got to get to their wells, they got to get their buckets, they got to come and they got to help to put out the fire. Well, the only experience that town had of clowns was it's always a joke. They're always kidding. And so they don't go. And it's only after a while that they suddenly see the flames rising on the horizon, and it's too late. The vision that we have based on our past experience, we have to be willing to let God give us a new vision, something broader. Something bigger. God saw the potentiality in Philip, in Nathaniel. Next week, we're going to hear about the first two, Peter and Andrew, and it will go on and on and on to us. God sees what we can be and become, and therefore he calls us to be those people without guile. There's something about our past that is here too for us to consider. Yesterday, we had a little blessing of being able to watch that new Tom Hanks movie called News of the World. And it tells the story of this young girl who has just had just an awful, has been forced to experience just too much as a young girl. But she has a line of wisdom that sticks with me. She says, to move forward, you must remember first. To move forward, you must remember first. Now, when we look at the incredible, horrific things that have happened with groups that would want to destroy our very way of life, we can take that phrase and go to Nietzsche's famous quote, those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. But it also calls for us to think about our own past, not just the bad, but also the good. You know, if we just dwell on the past, we can let those experiences be that which closes us in and makes it impossible for us to move forward. But we can't shut out the past either, because in the opposite extreme, like that little girl Joanna says in the movie, well, we're just going to never be anything. Don't let the past prevent you from becoming who you can be, but require your past to prevent you from reverting to who you were. It's really just another way of that prayer that I opened the sermon with, that it's all about for us. God sees our potential. God sees what we can be. Many years ago, Martin Luther King talked about what we can be. It had to do with that famous I Have a Dream speech. On this Martin Luther King Day weekend, as we reflect upon the character of Nathaniel, Bartholomew, Samuel, and our very selves, perhaps this is an appropriate prayer for us from our prayer book. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.